are on Economic Data Watch and Fed Watch today. The ADP employment report showed 571,000 jobs were added in October, above estimates for about 400,000. The stronger than expected read on jobs arrives ahead of Friday's key non-farm payrolls report. Let's stay on jobs here. Greg Dacko is the chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics and joins us now. Greg, always good to see you here. What's your hot take on this ADP report?
I think it's a strong report. We know that we have to take it with a grain of salt because it's not always a good guide as to the actual BLS jobs report figures. But what we've seen is that there has been an acceleration in terms of private sector hiring, which is quite encouraging. The underlying details of this latest ADP print were quite encouraging too. We saw job gains across a number of business categories, with goods seeing strong job growth, with also the services sector and leisure and hospitality leading the job gains. And also in terms of company sizes, we saw small businesses also reaccelerate in terms of hiring. So overall, I think this is a good report that bodes well for the Friday, October jobs report, where we expect to see a job gain figure around 427,000 jobs.
Gregory, this is Emily. You mentioned in a recent note that the U.S. economy is going through a bout of messy inflation dynamics or moderating expansion with sticky supplies-driven inflation. I'm wondering, what does this actually look like for investors in this type of environment? What types of sectors or asset classes might be benefiting from this phenomenon?
Well, you're absolutely right. We are in this bout of messy inflation dynamics. And what this means is essentially we have a number of factors that are playing against inflation in terms of the outlook. We have an environment in which there is strong demand, and it's taking some time for supply to respond to that strong demand. So we expect to see some persistence in terms of the inflation outlook. It's not going to be just a simple bout of transitory inflation. I think that's going to be key in this afternoon's FOMC statement, as well as the press conference that Fed Chair Powell will be leading, where he's going to have to push back a little bit, I think, against market pricing of very rapid rate hikes starting in mid-2022, which is what investors are betting on right now. Right now, the key focus is going to be on QE tapering, first step, starting probably this month and running through the first half of 2022. And thereafter, I think the Fed will want to be somewhat more patient than it had been over the prior decade in terms of raising rates.
Greg, set the table for us. It sure sounded like President Joe Biden is not sold on renominating Jay Powell. Some new commentary for him on that. I mean, do you think Jay Powell will be renominated? And if he's not, who are some of the potential successors?
Well, I think the odds still favor Jerome Powell's renomination by the Biden administration. It's a little surprising that there's been some time or some delay in terms of the renomination, but I think Biden is considering a few candidates. I think the top contender would be Lael Brainard, the current Fed governor. She would be an appropriate fit in terms of a Fed chair. She has the right type of background. She's got consistent views in terms of both monetary policy as well as regulation, which is something we know Democrats have been pushing for. So she would likely be the number two candidate for the Fed chair role. But I would still expect Powell to be renominated. I think he's done a great job during this pandemic and in the recovery phase. And I think he would be the appropriate candidate to continue leading the Fed.
And Gregory, again, on the labor market data that we got out this morning from ADP, along with the decelerating job gains that we've been seeing in the BLS data recently, do you think this economy is closer to full employment than the Fed has currently telegraphed?
No, I think we're still some ways away from full employment. We should not believe that the current environment is actually the new normal. We went through a summer lull where there was a rise in Delta infections, which led to renewed virus fear and renewed care for sick people. We know that was a big constraint on labor supply. We continue to see numerous supply constraints, both on the capital and on the labor front. And we expect that as we move towards the end of the year, we are going to see an improving health situation as well as an improvement on the supply side that should help release some of the labor supply and help generate stronger employment growth. As you mentioned earlier, we've already started to see rises in mobility, stronger demand, and stronger activity overall over the last few weeks. That should be a good sign in terms of the labor market. I think there's still a lot of progress to be made. My eyes on Friday will be focused on labor force participation. That's going to be a key gauge of how strong the labor supply is coming back online.
Greg Dacko, Chief U.S. Economist at Oxford Economics. Good to see you. Rest up. Jobs Day is coming, baby.